All right. Proverbs 16:13. I don't know where Deanna is.
She may be.
Paul,
same
to you. She was in the classroom.
Okay. All right. 16:13. righteous lips. We're going to put some king things in here we're going into. Righteous lips are the delight of kings, and he who speaks right, is loved. Well, apparently, king has some delight in what? Righteous lips, doesn't he? Okay? I guess he's glad when he sees people that are, you know, doing good things.
Is this 16:13?
16:13.
Okay, that's fine. I didn't match up with my 15 at all.
That's fine. Matter of fact, I've been looking at the King James each day on some of these. Okay?
Authorized version.
Yeah. And he who speaks right is loved. I guess the whole thing in 13 is what? There's appreciation for people who speak right, have righteous lips, and even goes as high as a king, doesn't it? Okay? It's noticed by all. All right?
Well, not only, it's not only how they speak, but their demeanor. If you are around someone that is ethical and honest, it stands out.
How do you know they're ethical and honest?
You can tell by their actions, how they conduct their business.
Okay. And a lot of that is words, isn't it?
Some of it's words, yeah. Some of it's...
And that their scales don't have two sets of weights, okay, like we did before, okay? But a lot of it revolves around words. That's where a lot of it starts. And that's right. You're right on that. Okay. 14. The fury of a king, we're dealing with kings again, or leaders. The fury of a king is like messengers of death, but a wise man will appease it. What can a king, if you're in the wrath, the fury of a king, they can send out messengers of death, can't they? Okay? But a wise man will appease it. So what does a wise man do to appease or pacify? What good are things that he could do?
He'll do what is good.
He's applying wisdom. How does it manifest itself?
Well, you say...
That's what's good.
If the guy's mad... And you feel like possibly his anger is unjustified, you can say, well, this happened and this happened and this happened and this happened. Can you look at it from a different perspective? But you have to have a special relationship to be able to talk to a person, yeah, of power in that
way. Let's just say that.
And calmly.
I'm getting to that kind of thing.
A soft answer. Mm-hmm.
That's exactly right. And it doesn't say here if this wise man is the focus of his anger, send a message of death to, or he's just in his circle as a counselor or something like that. I would think it's probably, I'm guessing the king is going to exact some sort of punishment on someone, and he said, wait a minute, let's think about this, or let's consider more facts. Do you really want to do this? That kind of thing. Okay? That may be what that is. But point is, a wise man always uses pleasant words. He uses good, wise judgment, and maybe a king sometimes would be more pressured to act quickly, don't they? Respond quickly to something. I don't know what I'm saying. Okay, and we've seen some things about that. Be a little prudent in your actions. Think about what you're doing. All right, interesting. Would it work? Even a supervisor at work, if you've seen a supervisor act quickly sometimes, I don't know, okay? If they do sometimes without gathering facts, which they should, all right?
Paul tells the Romans and the Christians, in 13, chapter 13, Romans, talks about the rulers, not a cause of fear for good behavior, but for evil. And do you want to have no fear of authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. Mm-hmm. For it is a minister of God to you for good. But if you do what is evil, be afraid, for it does not bear the sword for nothing. For it is the minister of God, an avenger who brings wrath upon the one who practices evil. Wherefore it is necessary to be in subjection, not only because of the king's wrath, but for conscience sake.
Yes.
So, you know, a wise person will do what is right so as not to stand in wrath of the king.
Or provoke it, whatever it is, okay? Sometimes it might be a buffer to other people, I don't know, okay? It's interesting. So there's a king and his wrath. So 15. This is 16:15, James. And the light of a king's face is life, and his favor is like a cloud with the spring rain. Now this may be the look thing, Sally. See? Appearances. And the lighter look of the king's face is life. And his favor blessed like a cloud of spring rain. This looks like there's something. First of all, the king here can do good too, can he? He can send messenger of death and he can also send good, recognize good. But this may be something in his facial features, okay? And showing favor to others. You know, if you're in front of a king or judgment of a king, he smiles at you. You know, it can be a good smile. And that may be a facial feature here. But the favor is like a cloud of the spring rain. Well, when you get a king smiling at you, it is like not just a cloud, it's a cloud. It's a cloud, say, but it's bringing spring rain. A welcome rain. A relief in a proper time. Okay? So a king, I guess, can both ways, can't they? All right?
My children did not want to see my face. Not looking good or my eyebrow to go up.
And you know, it's interesting, I've talked. You know, when you're disciplining children, sometimes the look across the room.
Oh, you know? All it takes. You know, they are so busted and it's so much trouble.
Jonathan used to tell me that you had a look.
I had a look.
Oh,
right.
Yeah, and he says if you saw that look, he knew he was in.
But you understood that there was a messenger of death that backed it up.
Yeah.
And they will do anything to get you to have a better look on your face, too. My children have actually, you know, tried little cutesy things. I don't know about anybody else's, to get you to change your demeanor.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They learn to smile and whatever.
Come over and give you a hug. It's like a big deal.
Yeah.
Christina's going to say, I love you know, and all that kind of stuff.
But here we would deal with a good look across the room, okay? A look of approval, a look of pleasing nature, okay? And it's interesting, isn't it? Okay? So we've got to watch our facial expression, don't we? Our hand signals.
Look of approval is sometimes even better. It goes a lot further than a disapproving look.
Oh, yes.
If you're working really hard to gain that person's approval and you get it, it's excellent.
I think we just give them the bad look because we just can't get over there fast enough. It's easy just to...
Shoot it.
Of course, girls are never a problem, are they?
No. Never.
I don't know what you're talking about.
They know the smile better. They got that down. All right. Anyway, let's see. 16. How much better is it to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding is to be chosen above silver? We've seen this before, haven't we? The idea of value, isn't it? Priorities. How much better to get wisdom than having gold, or to get understanding than silver? All right. Which one has the more lasting value? They do, don't they? Okay. The better application, all those sort of things are better for you. Not saying not to have gold or silver, okay? But remember the priorities, all right? 17, the highway of the upright is to depart from evil. He who watches his way preserves his life. We all have a walk, we all have a path, we all have a way. And it's an upright path, a righteous path, whatever it is. We're going to run from evil, depart from evil, not get around evil. Right? That's a good common statement in it. Okay? And it restates the same thing, like he who watches his way preserves his life. You watch what you're doing, you're prudent in your actions. You seek counseling from the Word. You're going to preserve a life, aren't you? Okay? Maybe physically, not to mention eternally. All right? 18. What's this one? I've seen this one before. Pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before stumbling. What's that talking about? Susan?
Not thinking too... Well, someone's prideful, they think too much of themselves, so you have to be careful of that.
Mm-hmm. You think too much of yourself, then what happens to your effect on others? How do you guide... What guides your actions?
Yourself.
Self in me.
Impulses.
Okay. That's right.
Well, also, not thinking, I mean, along lines of a different view than thinking too much of yourself is being too prideful and not asking for help. That's one of the things that I'm trying to get through to Dylan. He's in a situation now where he's struggling, not so much struggling, but needing help in one of his classes. And his thing is, well, Mom, I've never had to ask for help. I've never had to ask for help in my classes before.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, the weakness now is knowing you need help and not asking for it. That's where your weakness is, not in asking for help. That's the strength, is knowing you need help and asking for it.
Yeah, I think that's something throughout our entire life, isn't it? When do we know when to reach out and help? We're going to do it on our own. I've done it before, or a similar situation, I've done it before. And biggest thing when you're in a new situation, mm-hmm. think about it. Okay?
The thing about it is, a person can think, okay, I'm not going to ask for help, and they get through it, and they say, I did it. I didn't need any help. And so, and they don't even realize they had God's help. You know, they don't recognize that God helped them. It's all they did it themselves.
And that would tend to, how would that fix them on the next situation then?
Right.
See? Okay, and the next, reinforce
that attitude.
Yes, okay. And it's good to have pride in things, but we're talking about pride here to a degree, you know, that it changes your
perspective.
Right, pride
to a degree of failure.
Yes, and that's what the Holy Spirit is, that great arrogance, that sort of thing. That's what kind of redefines pride for you.
Well, not being humble.
Yes, all right. And you don't want destruction, you don't want stumbling, do you, and falling, okay? God doesn't want that. So, interesting, isn't it? Okay? And we kind of run to maybe a false security, don't we? Isn't it? Okay, we think if we can do things on our own, we do it a few times, we get more and more feeling that we can accomplish anything. So, all right.
The Lord in the Sermon on the Mount begins it with, blessed are the poor in spirit. If you're not poor in spirit, and that's the opposite of being arrogant and prideful, theirs is a kingdom. These Jews and these people that he was talking about, they were so prideful in who they were and in their self-righteousness, in their lineage and that kind of thing, that their hearts weren't open to the message and to this lowly carpenter's son who claimed to be the son of God.
What was interesting about that is they got away with it, didn't they?
No.
I mean, generally in life, they got away with it, didn't they? Yeah. Until Christ came along and someone would oppose them. Okay? Generally, you never oppose them.
Well, look at verse 19.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's why we're going to continue in 19. All right? It is better to be humble in spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. Continue the same idea as humble. The good spirit is better. That's one of these, it is better. And to humble and joyful, sharing whatever it is with the lowly. Lowly who? Lowly poor? Lowly downtrodden? Whatever it is. Than to divide the spoil with the proud. What does the spoil indicate to you? The spoil.
That's what's taken after a battle. And you're the winner.
Yeah.
You know, gets it.
Yeah.
Plunder.
It could be plunder.
To the winner goes the spoils.
It could be some kind of fraud involved, dishonesty, maybe. Okay. So, there's a violent spoil of proud. Now, this proud here is back to those arrogance. Okay.
Is lowly the opposite of proud in this?
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. So then we're not saying poor, then, are we?
No.
Say. All right. Maybe one's got a interesting. Okay. Twenty. He who gives attention to the word will find good, and blessed is he who trusts in the Lord. If you give attention to the word as your guide, What are you going to find? You're going to find wisdom, aren't you? And the wisdom leads to what? Good. Good associations, good life. And blessed is he who trusts in the Lord. If you're giving attention to someone's counsel, if you're giving attention to the Lord, you're giving attention to the Word, you're saying you trust it, don't you? See? Okay. Rely on it, trust it, give it high consideration, those sort of things. So, and bless you who trust the Lord. All right. This is a perfect guy.
Do you think he's left the subject, or do you think it continues the thought about being haughty and stumbling and all that kind of thing?
It's probably the conclusion of the matter.
Okay.
But here's where we're going. This is where you should have your starting point. Okay? Trust in the Lord. Okay? 21. The wise in heart will be called, interesting, understanding, and sweetness of speech increases in persuasion. We're going to see some persuasive things here. What's the second part? And sweetness of speech increases persuasiveness.
Mine says learning.
Okay. All right. Luana was kind of saying that a while ago a little bit. But the way we talk, call it a gentle speech, call it a calm speech, an attractive speech, increases persuasiveness. Who's being persuaded? Others, right?
Mm-hmm.
So your speech has effect on others.
What version are you reading?
New King James.
This is learning?
And sweetness of the lips increases learning.
Okay.
Because if you talk with a certain tone, they kind of, if it's the wrong tone, I mean, they just shut down.
You listen more.
Yeah. And so if it's a gentler tone and mm-hmm. gentler words, they kind of may keep an open mind more.
And if you're that kind of person in the first part of 21, the wise in heart will be called understanding. Okay? Same idea. So understanding and persuasiveness and learning kind of go together, don't they? See? It makes you more susceptible, doesn't it, to words if there's a sweetness of speech involved. Okay? Calmness, gentleness. All right?
So you think sweetness of speech there is how you talk instead of folly?
I would think so, yes. Okay, it's an appealing kind of speech. Okay? It doesn't set you on edge. It doesn't make you a defensive. Wouldn't that be persuasive? Cause a good atmosphere for learning?
Yeah, catch more flies with honey.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Make your point, don't you, Linda? That's fine. Now, we're going to come to folly coming up here.
In some discernment, and I guess Christ was the greatest of all discerners, and he was the greatest of all teachers. He didn't use sweetness of speech a lot of times.
No, because he knew the hearts of his audience, didn't he?
But he wanted to win them. So he didn't use sweetness of speech.
He had to get their attention first.
He had their attention. That is how he taught them. Exactly. And it's how Paul taught, too, in times.
Times, it's knowing when to use
exactly.
what kind of speech at the right time.
Right, I guess, yeah. I guess that goes back to the discerning.
Yes.
The wise in heart.
And us, without this ability to know hearts ahead of time, it's pretty difficult.
Because elders have to reprove and rebuke. And it's for the learning. It is for them to repent. And sometimes it's not so sweet.
Oh, no.
The way they say it is they don't have to be hateful, but they're not sugarcoating.
Yeah, that's I was going to say. This
but
sweetness is not sugarcoating.
Too.
But you get in the situation you need to be direct.
Yeah.
Okay. That's what you have to be and show in your reflections in your face and your tone of voice. That this is a serious matter we're dealing with. Yes. Okay?
Balance.
Yeah. Interesting. Sometimes you gotta learn that, don't you? Yeah. 22. Understanding is a fountain of life to one who has it, but the discipline of fools is folly. Understanding is a fountain of life to one who has it. The point is, a fountain of life benefits you, doesn't it? Gives good life to you. And it is what one who has it. But the discipline of fools is folly. When you punish fools, when you just, you know, you tell them where, you know, there's whatever it is, they just think it's useless. They just don't understand the benefit of it. See? Okay? If you've got understanding, you see the benefit. If you discipline fools, and you discipline and discipline, you know, it's useless. They don't see the benefit of it. All right? 23. By the heart of the wise instructs his mouth, and adds persuasiveness to his lips. That's pretty clean, isn't it? The heart of the wise. Now, when we say heart, what are we talking about? That inner, isn't it? Okay? So, instructs the mouth, or guides the mouth. That's a good statement. What kind of heart do you got? Well, you know, that's... And adds persuasion to his lips. A master of words for advantage. And if you're adding persuasiveness to your lips by having a heart of the wise, you're helping others, aren't you? You got learning there too? Okay? And adds learning to his lips. Now I'll put that in. So, if you've got a mouth that guides, then the evidence of that is that you're going to persuade others, help others, okay, in this life every day. Mouth is very important there.
Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy, the first chapter, verse 5, he's talking about furthering the administration of God by faith, talking about him instructing. In verse 5 says, but the goal of our instruction is love from a pure heart and a good conscience,
yes,
and sincere faith.
Yes.
You know, and that's what they're, that's what he, you know, Timothy was a gospel preacher, and he's saying, you know. Tell him to preach the word and, you know, rebuke and reprove and all that, but, you know, from love out of your heart.
Lord, a good conscience.
Yeah.
Really good.
Right.
Okay, a good trained conscience.
1 Timothy 1:5.
Now here we're back to 24. We're dealing with this idea of understanding, sweetness of speech and that kind of thing. 24. Pleasant words are a honeycomb. May I say sweet? Okay? Sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. Pleasant words are all three of those, aren't they? They're a honeycomb, they're sweet to the soul, and they're healing to the bones. If we say sweet to the soul, I was looking that up, and that's kind of the idea of encouraging. It's encouragement. And we've seen healing in the bones before, or rottenness of the bones, but this is healing to the bones. And that deals with a deep inner person. Okay? That there's things that can help them. Alright? So pleasant words there have three good aspects to them, don't they? Okay? 25. There's a way we seem right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Well, we've done this one a lot. I think we saw that back in chapter 14, I think. Okay? And it sure seems right. If it seems right, that means you see benefit in it, doesn't it? And hopefully, whatever we do, we want to see benefit in it. But when you rely completely on yourself, I think that's the idea here. The end is death, the ruin, of separation from what's good. So, we need to be careful when we rely completely on ourselves, or we look to the emotions of the moment. You know. So, just to say that it's good. Alright. 26. A worker's appetite works for him, for his hunger urges him on. What's that saying? A worker's appetite works for him. His hunger urges him on.
He's motivated.
Motivated because of?
Hunger.
Interesting, isn't it? Is that a good truism? Yeah. And it's just a good thing. Who's motivated more for hunger? Who understands it more? One who works on Wall Street or one who is a farmer? Huh? Interesting, isn't it? Okay. You understand that, okay? Or one who is in a lowly situation, or one who is poor, do they understand food more? See, okay.
The migrant worker versus the American worker who is too proud to lower themselves to do it. You know, I'm afraid that's part of the...
Well, because you have a welfare system that takes care of you and, you know, gives you, you know, 80% of your salary anyway. Okay?
And we see people, the Vietnamese and some of the people who have come lawfully to this country. But, I mean, they really, their work ethic is something. Mm-hmm.
Well,
and the work ethic of our parents coming out of the Depression and that kind of thing, because they knew that it was being won.
Well, you know, the experience of being part of history or knowing the past, okay, the experience of being part of the past and the hard situations of being there, or the idea of being informed, you know, about the past and situations can give us that kind of attitude, isn't it? But you really can't beat being part of it, can you? Like the Vietnamese or whatever. And this idea that people ought to go visit other countries.
Is this just physical hunger?
I'm going to say that, yes. Okay? I'm not going to move it any farther than that, but you can make application for that, sure.
I think work ethic comes from your upbringing also. I have a friend that used to think it was terrible that rich people made their children work through, earn their way through school. She thought it should be a gift from the parent to the child. And we had ongoing discussions about this for a long time, but I think that
because her experience was not a gifted experience, was it? She had a work experience, didn't she?
Yes.
Yes.
But I think, in a lot of cases, what you work for means more to you.
You value it more.
Than what is given to you.
Yes. Because you experience the struggle of it, I guess, is what you're saying.
You worked for
it. And I don't want to go back there again.
You worked for it. You earned it. The old
so that causes a motivation or an appetite, doesn't it? Okay. All right. It's a shame when you have societies that don't allow you to fulfill your appetite. Well, something a little bit here. Okay. Capitalism lets you do that.
They're talking about the spiritual aspect of it that Moana was alluding to, which works very well. You know, I mean, back in Ezra. You set your heart and you work towards it. And it's zeal, 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 all the way through there. And even in the New Testament, it's be zealous for good deeds. You know, how much do you love the Lord, and how much do you want His favor, and what are you willing to work to do to for it with zeal?
And works many times use the word substitute the word sacrifice, don't you? Sometimes, okay. It's better to be humble in spirit with the lowly than to divide his bowl with the proud. All right. 27. A worthless man digs up evil, while his words are like scorching fire. Okay. What are words that are scorching fire?
Hate, angry words.
Sure.
I'm looking for the worst.
Yeah. And the scorching fire gives the idea that he likes to burn up people, right? It's a hard extinguishing kind of thing, isn't it? What can I say? So you hurt reputations by gossip or whatever it is. You harm people. And a worthless man digs up evil. Well, if you're digging it up, you're showing an intent there, aren't you? If you're trying to locate some things, you're trying to prepare yourself to hurt people's reputation, aren't you? See, okay? I think some of the words use the word trap there. I'm not sure. So scoundrel, worthless man. 28. A perverse man spreads strife, and a slander separates intimate friends. Okay.
New King James has a whisper separates the best of friends, and that kind of connotates like talking behind their back.
A whisper, a slander, gossiper, a talebearer, and all this is kind of half-truths and lies too, maybe. Okay. And it separates close friends or intimate friends. and the idea of spread strife, this troublemaker, a perverse man spreads strife. It does, doesn't it? Okay, and you tell those kind of things. So we should not, we should be careful what we say, make sure it's the truth. Okay, we researched it. Okay, and here it can even separate close friends, intimate friends. You understand what I, you understood what I said there? No, all right. It hurts. It hurts. Even if it can be, end up a scorching fire. 29. A man of violence entices his neighbor and leads him in a way that is not good. We've seen this from the first chapter, haven't we? How can a man of violence entice his neighbor, seduce his neighbor, deceive his neighbor? How do gang people work?
Make it look good.
Make it look good, don't they? There's rewards in it. Or share the rewards.
Make them feel like family.
You belong. You're part of the family. You're part of the clique. Okay? The gang. So we protect each other. Right? We have a code.
They see what the other person feels is missing. Mm-hmm. And they target that.
And this idea of violence, see, is the idea of taking from others. Violence. Alright? God condemns violence. And leads him in a way that's not good. That's right. Okay. It's not good that way. Because when you deal in violence, violence is where you're going to end up also. Alright? He who winks his eyes, yes, Dawn, does so to devise perverse things. He who compresses his lips brings evil to pass. These are non-verbal signals. Okay? He who compresses his lips brings evil to pass.
He doesn't tell the truth. He doesn't say anything, but he doesn't especially. He just keeps his mouth shut. He knows that he can defend
Compressing lips almost just a silence, isn't it? Gee, I'll let that one go. They deserve that one. I could correct that and make it right. You know, or nuance the words to make them don't look as bad. I'm going to let that one go. They deserve what they're getting. Silence or holds back truth. He who winks his eyes does so to devise perverse things. Winks his eyes, the idea of deception, isn't it? Okay? And it's interesting. Alright? So you can do things non-verbally, can't you? You can hold back and not say, and you kind of wink the eye to see, you can tell a half truth, can't you? Alright? That's not fair to the other person, is it? Alright. You want to be treated that way? No.
Okay. I don't know if compresses, I was thinking about this because in Psalm 35, David writes about this. And then when he was getting the sword from the priest, remember? Mm-hmm. And Doeg went and told Saul and told a lie. You know, he didn't tell the whole truth about something. And when there was a chance for him to tell the truth, he didn't tell the truth. And then when David was king, and he's writing Psalm 35 about that thing, he didn't tell the truth about that either. They just kept silent, and or they taunted David with half-truths and everything. And he wrote Psalm 35.
Yes.
And so, I didn't know if this was, talking about those kinds of things. Because we can either be, all of us maybe have been close to being guilty of this, or know so many people who are guilty of this.
Yes. Yeah, it's silence or holding back part of what one could say, okay, which is a half-truth. Mm-hmm. Okay? And it brings evil to pass. See, there's a judgment coming. Someone's going to make a judgment on what you didn't complete, or what you didn't say. All right? So something's going to happen. Okay, 31. A gray head is a crown of glory. It is found in the way of righteousness. Well, what's a gray head generally mean?
Aging. Wisdom.
Aging. Okay? You made it this far. And generally, I think in their society's idea, it signified a long life. Well, it is found in the way of righteousness. I put an if in front of that. A gray head is a crown of glory if it is found in the way of righteousness. It's just a...
Well, that's what King James has.
It's oh, it is?
Italicized
if. Oh, it is? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And it's a gray head, I guess, is the idea of a reward for walking, you know, in a good way. Not necessarily the signal or signification of wisdom, is it? Okay, one's been walking in righteousness. But it could be an indicator, okay? If you're seeking counsel, well, who would you seek counsel first from?
One
Yeah, I've got the gray. He said he's staying away from that one.
I never had got that. But would you, if you're seeking counsel on a real tough item, you seek someone your own age?
Yeah.
First, you tend to think someone you think's been through it, don't you? Okay.
If you're smart, that's what you
do. If you're smart, okay. At least, don't stop at the one your own age.
But Rehoboam didn't do that.
Yeah. Now, you could talk to someone, that's right, you talk to someone your own age, and then when you talk to the gray-haired one, okay, or the older, then... you say, well, you know, I've heard this before. What do you think about this advice? So it's interesting. All right.
But doesn't the Bible say for the younger women to go to the older women?
Oh, yeah,
Teach
You know, you need to look at the life of this older person.
Well,
mm-hmm.
Sure.
Just go to any older person with gray hair.
Just because their hair is right doesn't make them smart.
That's right. But generally, it's something to kind of, it's a good place to start. Okay?
There was something I learned. Or I heard years ago, it says, seek advice from someone you would like to trade places with.
That
can be, if
you're having marital problems and you perceive that another marriage,
a good marriage, yeah,
and the kids respect them and all that, everything, you know,
that's who you go seek advice from.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Proverbs.
I'm sorry, but if they are led by the Word of God.
Yes.
If they have the wisdom of the Word of God, they may have a good marriage,
right.
But they may have, and they may not have faced some of the problems and know that the scriptural answers to get out of the problems that you may have.
Yes.
They may have a good marriage, but... what they have worked out, maybe by worldly wisdom, might be fine.
Yeah. And, in this crowd here, us here, we would deal with the wisdom aspect to be the number one issue. I mean, the faith issue. So a gray head is a crown of glory. Should you ever dye your hair?
Yes, you should.
I just laugh because ongoing conversations in the family.
Oh, it is? Oh, interesting.
Mom's always on the back.
Oh.
Well, men lose theirs. Let's
go even younger. I have a daughter-in-law who's she's got a few.
She's earned hers.
Yes, but she's... She
died or
have it, you know.
Is that pride?
All right, 32. 32 is an interesting one. It's a contrast here. All right? He who is slow to anger is better than the mighty. And he who rules his spirit, I'm going to say, is better than he who captures a city.
Sounds like James.
Self-control.
Where does it take more strength and effort here? That's what's being compared.
Exactly.
Where does it take more strength and effort and determination? Is it to be slow in spirit and rule your spirit? I mean, slow to anger and rule your spirit? Or does it take more strength and effort?
It takes a very strong person to control that.
Yes. And that's why it's better than mighty, the mighty person, the great warrior, whatever it is, or better than it captures a city. See? Interesting, isn't it? Okay? So it tells us about the importance of and the difficulty of self-control, isn't it? Okay?
And the result.
Yes.
The result from doing that is better than even having a whole city.
And let me sum it up this way. Is it better to conquer self or conquer others? Which is easier?
Oh, which is harder?
Okay.
Yeah, that's kind of the idea, isn't it?
Okay. All right. And 33, interesting one here. The lot is cast into the lap, but its every decision is from the Lord. That lot is cast to the lap is that apparently they would take their garments, and they'd, you know, they have long garments, and they fold it, and they throw the lot in there, you know, the things you choose from. And that's where, like the pot you draw out of, you know, if you draw the lucky numbers out of a pot or something, or a dish, same idea. And so, but every decision is from the Lord, or judgment. So that tells you that God controls every game in Las Vegas?
No.
Is that right?
No. His will's going to be done.
Yes. Okay. If he chooses, he knows, but if he chooses, he's going to deal with that, isn't he? Okay? Whatever that is. If you do a lot or something. All right? Or
this
decisions
lot,
in life.
This lot, when this writer wrote this, it was out of the history of a people who knew what this was. And this lot was not taken lightly, and this was always through prayer and a decision from the Lord, not gambling and, you know, something.
The apostle was chosen this way,
exactly,
right?
Okay. Exactly.
And God gave them credit for that.
The way they did that, and you know, but, so this is not talking about me and you throwing down to make a decision about something, you know.
Okay.
It just... Mm-hmm. Should we go to Denny's or should we go to, you know, IHOP?
Yeah.
Yeah, that kind of thing. This is talking about really something serious. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Serious, something about this decision for the Lord.
Yeah, it's like, it's all said that God can be involved in everything if he chooses, which he is. His will is going to be done.
He always answers prayers.
Yes.
And this was always with a prayer. And you know, and you may not do it in the same manner as he gave that definite decision right then, you know, and they understood it from Matthias,
mm-hmm.
you know, over justice. And so, you know, but to answer it for it.
Okay, 17 for next time. Thank y'all very much.